Episode 239 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Toronto, Canada. I'm David Hine of Hine News. Thank you for stopping by. Yes, back in North America, or still in North America, I guess, is if you look at the last podcast, hanging out in Toronto and just enjoying my time here, business and pleasure. And most of the business is done, and now it's mainly pleasure, so always good to have that. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can reach out to me on Twitter. That's at HineNews, HineNews. The email address is HineNews@gmx.de. The website is HineNews.com. If you can go to Facebook and check out the group, you can go to the search bar, put in Taking the Charge podcast, and you can catch us there. You can go to Patreon, support the show, and that's patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word, and show your love for the show there. And I guess that's about it. Go to iTunes and rate and review the show. All right, so I think that's all. So up in Toronto, actually going to head to a baseball game today. Really looking forward to that. Should be a good time. Toronto against the Milwaukee Brewers. Toronto is actually struggling a little bit out of the gate, but have to see what they're able to do. Should be a pretty decent game. The Milwaukee team is pretty interesting. They've kind of in a transition and bringing in some interesting guys, and so should be fun time. And so business side, last time got in contact, last time I was with you, sorry about the quality of the recording last week. It was ended up actually being a little worse than I had hoped with the tape recorder. Do have the mic going now. Albeit do have the problem with the voice. Not exactly sure what's going on. Happened kind of at the Hoop Summit up in Portland, but I'll try not to talk too long today. I have some things I need to take care of anyhow, but I did want to just tell you a little bit about some of the things. From San Diego, north of San Diego, headed up to Portland for the Hoop Summit. Was a pretty interesting game. First of all, there was the practice and for both the teams, and it was a pretty good group of guys. Was wondering, some of the things about the world team was was kind of how the Europeans maybe would be able to fit in with the with those Canadians, and then USA just kind of seeing them, because a lot of those guys were at the under 18s, or a few of those guys were at the under 18s, and then a lot of them were at the under 17 World Cup, and then just checking them out and see how they kind of improved since then. It was great to see a lot of people there that I know, scouts and coaches and whatnot, at the practices, so basically the game was the USA kind of really dominated the rebounding, was 45-27 and with 20 offensive rebounds, and that just killed the world team Plus, they hit only 54% of their free throws, 18 of 33, you know, really shot themselves in the foot on a lot of that stuff. Turnover is actually pretty equal, you know, with 19 each. It was really just those the rebounds that really made so much of a difference. And, you know, the Americans were able to just, you know, pull away at times and, you know, score points in bunches, and that really just made so much of the difference. You know, Jared Vanderbilt was going down to Kentucky, was really good with 19 and 10, but also had two blocks, two steals. Was impressive. Didn't really see him much. Don't remember him very much. And you know, Jared Jackson actually played really well and with 13 and 10. You know, Colin Sexton going down to Alabama. He struggled a little bit with his shot, but it was really impressive. The rest of, you know, everywhere else with 8 assists, 4 steals, and then a guy, you know, Porter. This is the first time I ever saw Porter live, so you know, I can tell why there's a lot of people pretty highly regarding him. You know, he ended up with 19, but 6 like were in the last minute or so. But, you know, was there the whole game and, you know, showing that, you know, showing his goods. You know, he's a high-level player for sure, and there's a reason why everybody, you know, is interested in him. And so world team, and also Kwadi Brown would have been interesting to see how, you know, he was kind of one of the leaders, probably one of the top point guards. But he was unable to play. He had a concussion in practice, got hit in the jaw, and was actually on during the game, he was actually walking around with sunglasses because even the lights were causing him problems. You know, so all the best to Kwadi Brown. The world team, just the bigs were not good enough. You know, you look at Nick Richards, who is going to be going down to Kentucky, sort of a Jamaican kid. Okay, maybe it was an early get for Calipari, but I don't know. We'll have to see. You know, there have been a lot better bigs, it seems to me. Or at least he didn't perform very well and was actually giving up on a lot of plays. It was kind of surprising lack of energy. And then you had, Ike Biagu, who's a Nigerian, you know, defensively rebounding was, you know, solid, but offensively super raw and, you know, not really there. And Dos Anjos, the Brazilian at Real Madrid, was, you know, just not athletically up there. Struggled with the Americans. Hartenstein, he's not a pure center, of course, but, you know, he is a big man and ended up with 4 rebounds, but, and, you know, through the first 3 quarters, had 0 rebounds. So, you know, Kostya Mashidi, he had a good game and, you know, there's been, you know, talk that he might stick around in the draft. He's declared to be in the draft. And, you know, this performance, you know, 4 threes. Also, you know, played some good D and a little bit of D, you know, and, you know, Graham Steele's getting out on the break and, you know, some passing and stuff like that. Step back jumper, you know, showed some things there that, you know, against these, you know, pretty high level Americans that, you know, I think he did a good job and on his draft status and, you know, might be more inclined to stay now, you know, showing that he could do it. I thought that Tanas Sedekerskis played really, really well. You didn't have huge stats with 4 and 4, as well as a steal, as well as 2 steals and an assist, but was a real glue guy for in his 19 minutes. I think he played really, really well. RJ Barrett, really, you know, 2 years younger, but he really didn't impress really that much. Seemed to press a little bit as well, but you know, okay, you could say he's still 2 years younger, but you know, have to see, you know, it's at the end of a long season, but, you know, to start it, it was just the first drive to the basket. He gets blocked by Mo Bamba, and not only blocked, but, you know, Bamba actually catches the ball, throws it off him, going out of bounds. So it was pretty pretty impressive performance by Bamba, a guy I didn't mention, but a beast. Can't wait to watch him at the under 19 World Cup. You also have, it seemed to me that that Shai Gilgeous Alexander struggled a little bit. He, you know, ended up only taking 5 shots, but took 10 free throws, 7 of 10 on his free throws. But I was kind of expecting more out of him, and, you know, ended up with 11 points mainly because of free throws. And, you know, I think that Nickeil Alexander Walker actually was actually one of the top guys. You know, I was really impressed with him. You know, I hadn't seen him live either. He was at under 18s. And but watching him do some things on the court, he struggled a little bit on the field, you know, 3-11. But, you know, was passing the ball, played defense. And, you know, Wigginton, I think, did a pretty good job, too. Also struggled a little bit shooting. But I think that's this the athleticism of the Americans, you know, 4 of 12. But did have seven assists to just the two turnovers. So, in general, you know, it was the free throws and the offensive rebounds. The rebounds in general, but the offensive rebounds, you know, you think that, you know, everything that had happened and the Americans were, the world team was close. For that long, you have to tip your hat to the world team. I think they did a pretty good job. One of the other guy that I actually didn't mention was Barisha Simonich. You know, was, you know, obviously ultra talented, and, you know, that still didn't really seem like he was able to bond very much into the practice. You know, kind of doing his own thing, and, you know, and it didn't seem like he was really communicating. You know, I guess his English is still very much a work in progress. And Lukens Dort, you know, come to him in a couple of minutes on something else. But, you know, obviously just a late entry for Agnes Glover, who tore his ACL in practice. Late entry, you know, wasn't able to do that much. You know, picked up 4 points and a rebound in 7 minutes. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, come in late and do that. But, you know, like I said, come back to Mr. Dort, because that's a guy I really like, and really looking forward to seeing him more in the future. Portland, great city. Didn't really see loads of it. Had some fantastic food, and which I was told that Portland is actually very famous for. Checked out the, hung out at the Powell's bookstore, huge bookstore, kind of like Strand, if you know Strand in New York. This is kind of like that, like basically a whole block, the size of a block, a city block. And so check that out. That was pretty cool. And then, for the first time, this was actually, the first one was in Glendale. Took my first Ubers. For those who might not know what Ubers are, Uber is it's a sort of a taxi service, online taxi service that kind of cuts out the, the licenses and stuff like that. Though you do have to register with Uber, I guess, and stuff like that. But you know, it's pretty cool idea, and I had some nice conversations. So, you know, definitely down the road we'll, you know, use it when it's available. You know, can understand why the taxi drivers are, you know, are kind of disappointed and up in arms a little bit about this whole thing. But, you know, it's a service that seemed to be, actually in Glendale. I can't remember. I don't think I said this last week, but there's actually a thing called Waggle. This was at least in Phoenix. Or Glendale, whatever, where you can actually have people come and walk your dog. So you give them the routes, and they can come in and say, "Yeah, we'll take that route with the dog and whatnot." So some goofy stuff that we're living in now. Then came over to Toronto. I have a little bit of family here from my wife's side, and Took in the BioSteel All-Canadian game. And unfortunately wasn't able to make it up to the Futures game. Would have been really cool. Anderson Patterson, one of the stars of the 2001 generation, was a co-MVPs. They have MVPs for both teams. And he scored 39. So definitely showed his stuff. And, you know, obviously he's going to be one of the real leaders for the under 16 FIBA Americas Championship this summer down in Argentina. So, you know, that would have been cool to see. But, you know, the All-Canadian game was pretty good as well. You know, Logan Stewart, he's going to, you know, he I think that game pretty much solidified his spot in the under 19 World Cup. Obviously, you know, Coach Rana is going to have a real tough choice. A lot of loads of high level talent there in that 98-99 generation for Canada. It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy for him to pick. You know, Mateur Macaire was the other guy, was the MVP for the other team, the white team that lost. But, you know, some really good talent in there. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of people know Ignas Bertzikas, O'Shea Brissett, Danilo Juricic played pretty well. I was actually the guy I didn't really know too well, even though he played at the under-17s last year, was Quincy Querrer, a Quebec kid. I was really impressed with him. I thought, nice, long, athletic, can do some things, get out on the break, shoot the ball. Abu Kijab was obviously really good. I guess that's Simi Chatu. You know, he's going to be a big body. They're going to really need him to play well at the under 19 World Cup. He definitely has to play for them. Pariaku was a late fill-in, and they really need him to take another step. Working with him, with the coaches, and see if he can maybe be ready. And but I don't know if they're going to have to be, you know, relying on him. That's going to be tough. And the Canadian size is going to be a little bit difficult. You know, you go, you know, maybe threes, maybe the four is okay. You know, with maybe a Brissett if he plays, which I don't know, it seems like a question mark still. Chatu maybe, whatever. But, you know, 1-3, that Canadian team is going to be, you know, fantastic. Probably one of the best in the world. But then you go 4-5 and you really kind of have to question what they're going to do. There's hopefully Iran has some guys there, you know, hopefully for Canadians. You know, he's got some guys out there that he could still grab, but, you know, it's we're gonna have to see, because there's you know, that Canada has been able to produce ones to threes, but you know, the fours and five have been a little bit difficult of late for them. All right, so interview time. I'm gonna put together a whole bunch of short interviews at both the Hoop Summit and the BioSteel. BioSteel All-Canadian game. So the order is going to be RJ Barrett, just wish the kid would be a little bit more of a kid, a little less serious, obviously, clearly has his mind set on the goal and very professional, I have to say that. So RJ Barrett first from the Hoop Summit, and then Danilo Juricic. Was part of the scrum with the media scrum with Abu Kijab. So you'll hear some questions from others there. We also had a chance to talk to then Felipe Dos Anjos, the Brazilian, at the Hoop Summit. And then also at the Hoop Summit, talked to Philip Hartwich, who was on the scrimmage team against the Americans on the final practice day. German playing out in Portland. Was watching the scrimmage, and I was like, he seems very familiar, and so I ended up having a chance to talk to him as well, and that was at the Hoop Summit. So again, RJ Barrett, Danilo Juricic, Abu Kijab, Felipe Dos Anjos, and Philip Hartwich. So enjoy those, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Actually, we're here at the Nike Hoop Summit. Tough loss, you guys. We're close with like 3 minutes left and kind of struggled the whole game off with their offensive rebounds and missed free throws, turnovers. Maybe their thoughts in general about the game and what you thought about being in it.
It was a good game. They were big. They out-rebounded us, but overall, it was a good experience.
Maybe talk about some of the biggest things you learned in it. You know, I mean, obviously, it's a pretty high level tournament. You know, you're 2 years younger as well.
Yeah, just being able to play against older and more experienced guys, just learning a lot from guys from around the world. So.
Was there some of the guys on the national team, on the world team, that maybe you learned stuff from during this week of practice?
Just how to come focus every day and just play hard every day against top competition.
You came here with a pretty high level already, and you know that these guys are pretty high level guys as well. Did it help you as far as build up your confidence, saying that you can match these guys, and knowing that you're still younger? Maybe talk about coming in, what your impressions were, and how you came out of it.
Most definitely, they helped me a lot during the week. Just keep telling me to be aggressive and play my game, but always come in confident. No matter who I'm playing against. So.
Maybe just talk about the Dix International. Obviously, it was a tough final. You know, you guys really wanted to get that. Maybe just talk about that. Going that far and unable to bring home the victory.
At least we made it to the finals. Nobody thought we would even make it there. So we had something to prove, and we played well. We just came up short right there.
What do you think was the difference in that game? And
they just outplayed us. They just played better than us towards the end. That was really it.
You guys get a lot of, there's a lot of prestige going around right now for Canadian basketball. You're in the States. Maybe what's your impression of what, let's say, the Americans think of what's going on north of the border?
The players, I don't think they like it because they want to show that they're the best and stuff. But Canada's coming, and we have a couple players. We're getting more and more players every year that's coming down to the U.S., so we're showing what we got.
Under-19s is coming up in Cairo. I mean, you stand a pretty good chance of making the team, obviously. Goal there, I mean, Canada's had some problems the last couple of years. They grabbed the medal the first one. Maybe just goals, expectations going to Cairo.
Just obviously to win is always a goal, and to beat the U.S., but just play and continue to get better and try to build the chemistry and the teamwork for a short amount of time. So, yeah.
Not just USA. I mean, here you saw the two Germans. They're going to be there. Tadas is going to be there. How much are you aware of the other guys, the other teams out there, and how much is that, especially, you played under-17s?
That's Germany is okay, I guess. Yeah, like Lithuania is pretty good. Just teams like that from around the world are good. So we believe in our abilities and what we could do. So
just talk a little bit less, sort of to close off, where you think your game is at. You're looking at playing against these guys. Obviously you're going to grow. You're going to get stronger and stuff like that. But maybe just talk in general about your game and where it's at and where you'd like to go.
Right now, I think I'm pretty good getting to the basket and making plays. In the future, I'm trying to get stronger and work on my shooting, everything. Work on all areas of the game, really, just to get better and be the best player I can be.
Daniel, we're here at the Biel-Steel All-Canadian game. What have you, Jenner, your first thoughts about playing in a game like this?
It's great, especially to be going against the top 24 selected athletes in Canada. It's great to be, back with some guys that I've played with in the past and playing against such a high level of competition throughout the weekend and especially in tonight's game, and I'm really looking forward to going out there and playing hard.
A lot of people are talking high about Canadian basketball, Toronto basketball. You look at this, this roster of guys and also some of the names who aren't able to play in this game, and it's a pretty high level of players. And what do you think about high school basketball basketball in Canada right now, and where do you think it's going?
It's definitely been on the rise in the past couple of years, and it will still continue to be on the rise. As you said, the roster on paper is they're some huge names, great players, great athletes who can do everything on the court, and we're just looking to keep developing and keep playing. So
you're part of the team that last year went to under 17s. Maybe, you know, take a step back and what did you learn from that experience? Obviously, that quarterfinal's been tough for you guys over the last few years. In general, your thoughts about the under-17s last year, what you and maybe what the guys from that team learned?
First off, it's just the greatest opportunity to be able to rep your country. And, you know, we went down there with high expectations in order to, like, we had plans of winning gold. So, you know, we fell short in the quarterfinal against Turkey, and it was a great learning experience for all our guys, because we knew we had high expectations coming in, and to have such a letdown like that, we knew we all had something to work on, we needed to, you know, get back in the gym together and, you know, regroup in order to get better for the next coming years. And we'll just leave it to the younger guys, try and win the U-17 championship soon. So it was a great experience, great learning opportunity, playing against international competition as always. So look forward to, you know, continuing that on in the next coming ages.
And the year before, you had the 20-point lead after, you know, whatever it was, 11 minutes, and ended up losing. So, I mean, that's another thing. What did you guys learn from that?
That was a bad game. I mean, we were up so good, and, you know, we thought we had it. I guess we kind of just threw in the towel because we thought they had the game, and you can never do that, especially with a team, you know, as stacked and always as good as USA basketball is. And that was also a great learning experience, and we tried to bring that on into the U-17, and we kind of had a slip up as well, but it was a great experience in showing that you can never, you know, put the trophy in the bag, that you won the game. It's never over until the final buzzer sounds.
You look at all these guys. These are all guys in the running for Cairo. How much motivation do you have trying to get there? You're an underage. You know, this is your one chance to play another world, a youth World Cup. Talk about your motivation going into the camp when Rana calls it.
I'm really excited, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm always going to play my heart out for my country, and it's the greatest honor to be able to represent my country. So going into camp, I'm going to be playing hard, doing my best to make the team, and, you know, I'd love to be able to represent my country again in another world championship in Cairo.
What do you think you offer the team that maybe, not necessarily another player, but what do you offer that he doesn't, but what do you offer that, you know, you think is most useful?
I would have to say probably experience. I've been in two international competitions prior and with the cadets, and, you know, moving on. But, like, I use my assets of my shooting in the past two competitions, and being a stretch four can really stretch the floor and shoot the ball well, and, you know, make driving lanes for the guards. So that's what I like to bring to the team, you know, especially doing the little things, boxing out, doing everything, you know, just doing everything for my country in order to win. So
can we talk about your decision to stay here one more year? You know, you could have gone other places and decided to go up to Orangeville and work out there up there in Orangeville. Talk about your, you know, working there and that year for you, and how much it helped you.
Well, I'm not really at Orangeville. I'm at St. Michael's College School in downtown Toronto. So, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no problem.
I know you stayed, but I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No problem at all. My decision to stay was just based on, you know, the academics that I was receiving at such a high-level school, and balance of athletics and academics is a huge thing to me, and that's why I chose Harvard as well. So, you know, I felt St. Mike's offered that, and I was able. I think I'm improving daily, you know, especially on basketball court as well as with my body. So I didn't feel the need to go down, especially because, you know, I have family here. I can stay, and I can still develop and, you know, get a great education as well staying here. So I didn't feel the need to leave.
Harvard with Tommy Amaker, obviously a great player, has developed a couple of guys. A couple of things you're most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to him being a coach and my teacher. He always says he can't wait to coach and teach me, and I'm really looking forward to that. He's a great coach with lots of experience. Just looking forward to getting down there and getting started with the program.
Family background is Serbian. Has anybody played national teams for anybody?
No one. I'll be the first person. My uncle played professional football in the NFL and CFL, but that's it.
Okay. Was there any consideration to play Serbia? I mean, obviously you've played twice now for Canada. Is there any consideration to play for Serbia, or is that all over?
It was just mainly it was the decision to play for Canada because I've been born and raised in Canada, and You know, I feel Canada's given a great opportunity for my family and I, so there was no real like consideration. It was just how to play for Canada.
If Serbia were to play Canada, obviously they're not going to play here at the World Cup, but who would your family be rooting for?
Oh, definitely Canada. Yeah, because we live there, and, you know, it would be a tough decision, of course, but I think it would just be Canada.
All right, let's go with that, man.
Best fit for me. You know, I had a great relationship with the coaching staff. You know, loved it out there, loved the vibe, loved everything about it. And, you know, I could really see myself fitting in.
Do you guys just Dylan Brooks and Bouchard already, or?
I talk to them all the time, yeah. You know. I was talking to Chris the other day after, you know, he got his ACL surgery, yeah. And, you know, just talking to him, you know, keeping him up, you know, telling him to stay positive. You know, I was talking to Dylan today. You know, I see his Snapchats with his dog. So, you know, talk to him all the time.
What are you hoping to get out of this experience here tonight, playing with all the best in the country on national television?
You know, I'm just trying to go out there and have fun, you know, leave it all on the floor. You know, I don't want to leave here, you know, regretting, you know, not going all out. So, you know, when I go out there, I'm just going to leave it all on the floor.
You are a commit, but do you feel there's anything to prove in a game like tonight?
There's always something to prove, you know. Every time I go out on the floor, I feel like I got to prove something, you know. Even though I'm proven, you know, I feel like I still got to prove myself every single time I play.
What's been the biggest challenge about tonight and getting ready? I mean, you have one weekend really to get to know these guys, to play with them. What's been the biggest challenge for you?
Getting to know their names at first, that's probably the biggest challenge.
You know all their names now?
Everybody's name, yep.
You have the under-18 game against the States. Yeah. What does that do for you, confidence-wise, to have such a good game against the States?
It's a big confidence boost, and, you know, it's also a thing that makes me want to work harder. You know, we fell short at the end. I didn't have a great second half. So, you know, that really motivated me. I went to the gym. As soon as I landed, I went to the gym and started working on my jump shot. And I'm trying to become a lot more consistent with it. You know, I shot it pretty well, but, you know, I want to shoot it better next time I play them.
What does it say about Canada as an international power? You know, measure up against them?
You know, we're definitely on the rise. You know, a lot of people, you know, are starting to really know who we are. And, you know, our identity is out there. You know, people are watching out for us all the time.
Is there an extra little edge when you play against the U.S. kids?
I know a lot of them, so yeah. So, you know, it's very competitive, you know. So when I go out there, I want to prove that Canada can beat the U.S. You know, it's not just, you know, the U.S. that got talent. Canada got a lot of talent, too.
First of all, it's good to see you here today. There was some time where it was unsure whether you would be able to travel or not. How long have you felt comfortable traveling?
You know, it's complicated with the whole Donald Trump situation at first, but, you know, after amendments were made to the act, you know, it's fine. At first, I was scared that, because we had a British Columbia one, and, you know, I didn't want to go back, get stuck, and not be able to go to Oregon, so.
Right, because you were the only one that affected at the time, right?
Yeah.
But how did it feel that they accommodated fully for you?
You know, I was very happy, you know. Coaches did have a hell of a job, you know. Appreciate that from them. You know, I was really happy to play the game.
And that the traveling, that affected you as well, because you have family in St. Catharines, right? So what was that like?
Not very tough.
Be able to see them.
It's very tough not seeing my family, but, you know, I call them every day. So, you know, I feel like I'm right at home.
But the travel ban, did that affect that?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Just a little bit.
But there's a potential that it might.
Yeah, a chance, low chance, but, you know, got cleared up. So
what were you risking at that tournament? Like, if you had gone to that tournament, what were you risking?
The ability to come back into the U.S.,
yeah, and you had a scholarship lined up and everything.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure everything was lined up.
And I believe your intangibles have carried you so far along the way, and since we've been seeing you at St. Catharines.
Yeah.
And a lot of the pro guys, they discuss that. I mean, we saw you jumping over chairs and, you know, in scrimmages.
Yeah.
How do you find the balance to be able to, you know, withstand an entire game while you're the loudest guy on the floor?
You know, it's all mental, you know. You know, if you do something long enough, you know, it's just going to become natural. You know, I started really communicating my ninth grade year with Team Ontario. That's when they really got me, like, to start communicating more. And, you know, from there, I just built that habit of communicating constantly. And, you know, it feels normal now, to be honest.
Speaking of communication, you're now 2 days in, playing with all the guys, getting to know all the guys.
Yeah.
From those 2 days, who are you most looking forward to playing against?
Shamil. You know, I'm really looking forward to playing against Shamil. You know, we had a lot of battles during the season. I played against them about two times this year. Played for Hillcrest. You know, we battled close games. We got both of them, but they got us at the end of the year tournament. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to playing against them. You definitely see me going at him.
Yeah, try and get one back, right?
I will.
2 years ago, you were at the under-19s as 2 years younger.
Yeah.
This year, you're going back as probably, you know, one of the contenders. Loads of talent, 98, 99. Yeah. Expectations going there?
Expectations, you know, are very high, you know. And, you know, I thrive under pressure. And, you know, I think I'm going to play very well. And hopefully we can get a medal.
What's the biggest thing you take out of being able to play there last year, about 2 years ago?
You know, it's a very humbling experience, you know. I learned a lot. You know, I was playing behind a lot of guys that are a lot older than me. And, you know, they just showed me the ropes. You know, they showed me how to really play. And, you know, they showed me a lot of the mental part of the game. They showed me that it's not just physical. There's more to the game than just the physical aspects. Mostly mental, like 90% mental, 10% physical.
You mentioned there was a little bit of politics before. Obviously, Cairo, we saw attacks there.
Yeah.
Is there any worry on your concern? Now, it just happened like yesterday, whatever. So is there worry on your part?
No worries.
One more question, guys.
There's been you know, comparisons throughout the years, but you know, Dylan Brooks seems to be the one that flashes and stands out the most.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel like you're filling in that role pretty smoothly, or do you guys bring the same characteristics? Is there something that you provide that's different from him?
You know, Dylan's a very great player. You know, I don't want to start comparing myself to him because, you know, me and him, people say me and him have similar games, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's a great player. And, you know, I'm just honored to be compared, you know, and be in the same league as him.
Starter.
Okay. What's it like to be here? Well, how do you feel about being here? You know, this is a pretty prestigious event.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm very proud to be here, and it's a great opportunity. The Hope Summit is the most in my category, and the coaches and the teammates so so good, and I'm so happy to be here, and that's a great opportunity for me and for everybody who's been here.
You were at the BWB last year. Now you're here again. Maybe your development between Toronto and here, your development.
I'm better than Toronto. I can do things when I wasn't doing Toronto, and my development. Development is good.
Relax, man. Don't worry.
No, I don't know.
Your development.
So no.
You're able to do more things.
Doing more things and shots and rebounds and stronger, and so for me it's good. And in Toronto down here is a very big step.
I got to ask you. You know, you're in Real Madrid. You see Luka there every year. You know, Luka Doncic. What's it like? What do you think about him? And you know, he's younger than you, and he's already EuroLeague player of the week and stuff. Maybe your thoughts about Luka Doncic.
Luka is a very good boy. He's a very good player. It's incredible. Luka can do things so nobody can do. But Luka is a very good player. He can do it. How tall are you? 2 meters or 2 meters? And he's a point guard, Jose. It's awesome. But I play with him for four years ago, and he's a very good player, he's a very good person too. And he's not unselfish, not cool off. And so he's the most, and she's gonna be the NBA.
Felipe, how did you get from Sao Paulo to Spain?
Sorry?
How did you get from Brazil to Spain?
So, Brazil to Spain. I go to Spain when I was 13 years old. So, how?
Yeah, wow.
13. Yeah, 13 years old. Yeah, 13. 13
what
years
old. What was it
like? I don't know. Grandma knows about me in Brazil, my last club, Pinheiros in Brazil.
Right.
And I was going to Spain 13 years old, and I do the mini Copa. It's like La Copa del Rey in Spain. It's like for the juniors, okay? And it's it's for me when I know these news and I say, oh my God, I've been in the Real Madrid. And so, but it's so good for me and a good opportunity for me.
I got one more. Just, you know, this summer is the Under-19 World Championship. Brazil is banned right now, has suspended the federation in Cairo, the World Cup. What do you think about that? And you know, are you hoping to play in Cairo?
I don't know, but I don't want to answer this question because I don't know too much about this, about the team. But I don't know, if you want to know something, you need to talk with them, or I don't know.
Would you like to play though?
I would like to play with Brazil, but they call me. But now, when they call me, I get some preseason, postseason with the Real Madrid, and I didn't, can go with him. But like.
Philip, we're here at the Nike Hoop Summit. You're not playing in the game, but you had a chance to play against the best that America has to offer. What was it like? What was it like for you going against these guys? You know, these kids, a lot of these guys are going to be in the NBA in, you know, let's say two, three years.
I mean, this is my second time playing here, and it's a great opportunity to just measure up against them, see how they do, see how you match up against them. I'm always surprised how strong they are for their age. I mean, most of these kids are like 17, 18, and they look like college seniors. And then they all can jump out the gym and have complete games, so it's always really surprising how far they are for their age.
Maybe talk about your journey. You know, you're from Germany and you're playing out here in Portland, right here in Portland. Maybe what it's like for you to come over here and land at with Portland.
So far it's been great. It's really, I mean, you might know that, but Portland is really European, and I liked it a lot so far. I mean, we had a coaching change a year ago, but things have been great ever since. I mean, they were great before too, but they've been great. And you know, I just enjoy my last year.
The coaching change that you talked about, you know, obviously you have an NBA longtime veteran and, you know, a great in Terry Porter. What are some of the things that you've learned from him in the 1 year?
You can really just learn from his perspective on the game. He tries to really be in the game with you and then tell you in every situation what you could be doing better. Just from a very basic basketball standpoint, he's not really like the college coach who's just yelling at you to play harder. He's just like, all right, do this, maybe they'll help you with that situation. So it's just his experience on the court in the NBA helps us a lot.
Junior. You're a junior.
Going into senior year.
So, what do you want to do next year? You know, you're, you know, West Coast Conference, and you know, or no, not West Coast Conference. West Coast Conference. You know, what do you want to do next year? What are your plans? What are your hopes that you're able to do next year?
I mean, we had a rough season this year. Our starting point guard over there towards ACL midway through, so it was hard without him. But I think next year, if we crack 500, that'd be really good. We got the PK80, which is our Thanksgiving tournament with some great competition. So maybe if we get a win or two there, that'd be nice. And then, yeah, crack 500 and then just go as far as we can in the championship.
How much do you keep track of what's going on in Germany?
From like a political standpoint or just basketball?
Well, both. Let's say both.
Just barely a little bit. I know about my former team a lot because my mom goes to the games. She keeps me up to date, but I'll do that.
Is that Cologne?
Rheinstrauss Cologne, yeah.
Yeah, Rheinstrauss.
And they're in their first playoff series, second league.
Yeah.
So I think they played today, so I don't know how they did. Yeah.
I don't know either. You know, there's, I'm going to say there's, you know, more and more Germans that come over, but there are a few Germans that have come over. What were some of the reasons why you decided to come over here rather than maybe stay in Germany?
I think just combining academics with basketball was really important to me, and I didn't really feel like I could do that in Germany, although there are kids that do that. I just think it's better here too. If you really want to pursue a great education with a great college basketball experience, it's just better to go to the States.
What's your favorite basketball moment here in America?
Wow. What I've been part of? We beat BYU at home, which was a tough game, sold out crowd. It was almost an away game with all the Mormons showing up. We beat them, so that was great. Been part of a couple buzzer beaters, so.
Maybe thoughts in general about the future. You know, going back to Germany, is that something that you kind of hope to do and be able to play in the PBL, or not thinking much about it yet?
Not really. I'm just trying to focus on the next year. But you know, I don't know. Maybe if I have a good year, I'm gonna try to play as high as I can and play for as long as I can. And if that's in Europe, that's in Europe.
Maybe just you know what? I guess we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of interesting kids. I have plenty more. I'm going to write up some of the interviews, some of the other interviews that I did. That's why I'm kind of saving on some of the other names that I got. You know, next couple of weeks we'll be rolling those out of the show, for the show. I didn't realize that I hadn't seen that Kijab was actually affected by the U.S. Travel ban, having been born in Sudan. Tough, especially now he's going to be going to Oregon. It's going to, you know, I can imagine it's really, really frustrating. All right. With that, I think I'm going to run because I have some other stuff I need to get done before heading out to the Blue Jays game. Last thing is to let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song is called Carolina Sunshine. And the band, just like last week, the band is called The Oregons. And so enjoy it. The music is available on freemusicarchive.org. Check it out. Enjoy the basketball, and we'll catch you next week.
This is Patrick Baumann, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.